Thank you. Now for Pastor, Brother Chick.
Thank you, Brother Randy. I think Mercedes, ladies, I think Mercedes is going to need a little help down here. Our older girls, they do real good, but some of our little ones don't do very good. And if somebody will help her out, there we go. Somebody might want to take him towards the back. He's a good boy, and I love him, but he's a lot like Brother Chick when he was a little boy. Good looking. There we go. That's wonderful. Thank you, Brother Travis. Those are wonderful little people. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to the book of Luke, chapter 24. This is one of my favorite passages of Scripture. This is a story that always makes me rejoice and thank God that I'm a child of the King. In verse 13, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all of these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they were communing together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holding that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that thou hast one with another as ye walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered and said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? And hath not known the things which come to pass there in these days?" Now we know what they were talking about, don't we? "Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And it came to pass that as he sat at the meal with them, he took the bread and blessed it and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sights." But listen to this next verse. And this is the key verse of our scriptures this morning. "And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures?" Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for the truths of thy word and for the hope we have in Jesus Christ. If there's one here without Jesus, may their eyes be opened spiritually this morning, and may they come and accept Christ as their personal Savior. And then we that are Christians, that will draw nigh to you, that will renew our vows, that we'll begin again that which pleases you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Last Sunday morning, we had a glory day here at Bible Baptist Church. And what a blessing it was to see souls saved and a great crowd. To see those folks receive Jesus as their Savior here at the altars. And then a number of the Christians came forward renewing their vows to the Lord. And I don't know what it does for your soul, but what it does for mine when we see souls saved and Christians dedicating themselves to the Lord, it gives me a fresh feeling. No, let's say a sensation. And you know, after we left church Sunday night, I was thinking about all the good things that the Lord had done for us that day. And it left me with a kind of a sweet, fuzzy, warm sensation. I don't know about you, but last Sunday services, I received that kind of a sensation. You said, but Brother Chick, we can't live on the past. Oh, I know that. But we can rejoice in the past. We can say, thank you, Lord, for the blessings that you poured out upon us. And so, I just say, glory. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. Now, one thing about having that wonderful sensation is that it continues, and it continued all week long with me. I don't know what it did for you, but it made me rejoice to know that God's present in our services, that He looks down and blesses us, that He proves to us that He's not a God far off somewhere, but that He's a God at hand. I like what one of the folks said that got saved. They said, boy, I'm glad I had the experience of being born again. You know what that made me do? It made me think back to the day that I received Christ as my personal Savior. There was a new hope and a new peace and a new joy. And a little old curly-headed, and I know that's hard for you to believe, but used to. I had a curly hair, but I married a blonde. And I can remember that day I received Christ, and most of you already know my testimony. My cup runneth over. I was so thrilled that I didn't have to worry about hell anymore, that I had heaven to look forward to. And so I was thinking about this, and I thought to myself, why am I rejoicing all week? We have souls saved almost every Sunday. But I sense the presence of the Lord by Sunday as I sense His presence today. And then I got to thinking, there's a reason for that. The cross is empty. The grave is empty, and Christ is in heaven making intercession for the sins of the world. Brother, we ought to rejoice. We have a God that's touched with our needs. Now, the question here this morning is simply this: are you experiencing in your life the same sensation that I'm enjoying? You know, if you're saved, you ought to rejoice. I think sometimes when I look across the congregation, and I know all of us have problems, and we have heartaches, and we have disappointments, and Dad, you fixed a peanut butter toast for the kids, and when you were getting ready to come to church this morning, George got a hold of your tie with peanut butter on his hands, and he wiped his hands on your tie. But that's all right, then you won't be hungry during the service. And I know sometimes we have that heartache and that sorrow, but you know what? We ought to be rejoicing. And we ought to be thanking God for all the good things He did. Can you imagine these two men as they were walking from Jerusalem, where the cross had been, where the grave was? They were sad. They knew the scriptures. Jesus said, you know the scriptures, you know what God has said to you and what I've said to you, that I'm going to rise again and that I'm going to be triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. He said, you know those things. And then he said, since you've forgotten, and they didn't know who they were talking to. Well, you know, sometimes we forget who we're talking to when we go to prayer. We're talking about the God of the universe. And we need to recognize how wonderful and how magnificent he is. And I was thinking about that. And he, you know what he did? He began to teach them again. Repetition. When I was training to be a school teacher, I remember what one of our professors said. He said, you young whippersnappers. He said, while you're teaching school, he said, if your children retain 1/10 of what you've taught them, you've done well. And you know these two men, soldiers of the cross, their hearts were sad. And because of their sadness, they forgot the joy of what was going to take place, a resurrected Savior. And then all of a sudden, he fed them and he revealed himself to them. Now listen to what they said. Because this is something important. And especially for those of, how many of you are saved here this morning? Yeah. This is important for us because we know what it means. And after he disappeared and he just was gone. An omnipresent God we serve, and all of a sudden he was gone. And they began to talk again. And this time they were talking not sadly. They didn't look like they'd been baptized in dill pickle juice. They were rejoicing. And they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he spake to us? You know, that's a sensation that you and I as Christians, all you that raised your hand a while ago, this is something we must never turn loose of, to know that we're a child of the King, that we're part of the family of God. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. You and I that remain until this day, we have something to look forward to. We know that Jesus is coming again. And so we ought to be full of joy and peace and happiness. And we ought to be more determined today than ever before in our lives to carry the message to them that don't know Jesus Christ. Did not our hearts burn within us? Now, why should our hearts burn within us? Why should we be illuminated? It's not a sensation of just feeling. It's more than that. The Christian should always rejoice, and their lamps and lights should be burning brightly because in John chapter 8, verse 12, listen to what Jesus said. Then Jesus spake again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Most of us in this room today have said goodbye to somebody that we love dearly. Somebody that knew Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I remember the day I got the phone call to go and see about my dad and mother and my little sister. And when I got there, Dad was gone. And oh, my heart sank within me. And I thought to myself, here's a great preacher of the cross, faithful unto death, preparing to preach the next day to try to reach the lost for Christ. And I thought to myself, Oh, man. It's hard to say goodbye to Dad. You know, a lot of guys are you know, they're a mama's boy, but I was a papa boy. And Dad and I were close. And we fished together, and we prayed together, and we led, I lead the singing, and he did the preaching, and we worked together, and we served together, and we giggled and laughed together. But he's gone. My heart was sad. My light and my lamp was burning very lowly. Until I met an old Christian who came by to see me. And you know what he said to me? Sorrow not as others who have no hope, because, son, you have a hope. And you know that caused me, Brother Joe, to turn the wick back up. That caused me to shine my reflector up, to think that my dad's now with the Lord. I wouldn't wish him back, but I knew one thing for sure, that was one less to carry the message of Christ, and so that meant that I needed to lift high the cross. That I had been a soul winner, and I'd been a faithful worker in the church, and I'd served as an officer in the church. But the words of the Lord Jesus Christ came to me. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw on men unto me. And you know, that's exactly what I thought after I realized that Dad was in heaven. My job is not to weep and to be sad as others who have no hope, but my responsibility is to lift high the Lord Jesus Christ so that the world can have the peace and the joy I have in my life. Over in the book of Matthew chapter 5 verse 13, the Bible says, to the Christian, ye are the salt of the earth. And if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And that's why we need to keep our saltiness. That's why we need to be that which preserves. That's why we need to be that which is different than the world, to proclaim our wonderful Savior. Somebody said, yeah, but Brother Chick, there's a lot of Christians going around with the attitude that they're more holy than anybody else. Well, here at Bible Baptist Church, we understand what we really are. We're just sinners saved by grace. That's all we are. And if it wasn't for the goodness of God, And the love that he showed to us, and the blood of Jesus Christ, we would be nothing. How many times have I said this from the pulpit? If you have Christ, you have everything. If you don't have Christ, you absolutely have nothing. Notice what else he said to the Christian. He said, the Christian is the light of the world for Christ. In the book of Matthew chapter 5 verses 14 through 16, he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on the candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. And that's what we're supposed to be. When I was a little boy in Sunday school, I learned this song. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. You said, get to preaching and quit singing. Well, you can always put your fingers in your ears when I sing. But you know what? Even as a child, when I got saved, I understood that I was a candle for the Lord. We had a candlelight service many years ago in this big sanctuary, and we turned all the lights out. And, it, you know, it was darker than inside of a whale. I kind of felt like I knew what Jonah felt when he was taken into the fish's belly. And when they came into the doors, we handled everybody a candle, and we lit it for them. And we came into this huge room, and it was dark. And the more the people came in, the brighter it got. And it got so that it was just almost as bright as it is right now. Because everybody had a candle, and a lot of them held them down here. But when we started the service, I said, "Now lift high your candle." And everybody held up their candle, and this place was illuminated. That's what Jesus said we are. We're the light of the world. He's the light. We're His kids. Therefore, we need to be light as well. Oh my, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. No, glorify your Father which is in heaven. After all the blessing God has done in our midst, we, His local church, should have a bright glow about us. Over the years, and I think every preacher knows this to be true, there are certain people in your congregation that as you preach the word, you can tell whether you're getting your thought across. They come in and their countenance is normal. But the more you preach the word, the brighter their face gets. And what's really happening, Brother Trevor, is their heart's being warmed. And you know, and the more you preach God's word, the whiter and brighter their face gets. And the next thing you know, there's a big smile on their face and a shine on their face and a shine in their eye. You know why? Because they've been ignited on the inside, spiritually speaking, and they're happy in Jesus, and I know that I'm getting the message across. I hope I'm getting the message across today. You that raised your hand are the light of the world. Do you have a bushel over your light? Are there things in your life that keep you from burning brightly for the Lord? Why have a candle if you're just going to cover it up? We need to take the bucket off, if you please. We need to take the basket off. And we need to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And all the people said, yes. That's why we're here. That's why we're not in glory right now. Because, you see, there's got to be a soul saved, the last one, until Jesus comes. And you know, it might very well be that at these altars in this great old church, it might be at these altars that the last person will get saved before Jesus comes. And when they say, "Then God be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me for Christ's sake, and I believe that Jesus died and rose again for me, and I receive Him into my heart," it could be right here. Then the shout would come from heaven, and then our lights would go to be with our Heavenly Father. Wouldn't that be exciting? And the more we reach, and the more we talk about, and the more we try to get saved, it could very well happen. You see, the city of Enid needs to be able to see our lights. They need to know that we love the Lord. And lastly this morning, can you expect the unsaved who have no light at all? They're still groping in the darkness, trying to find life and light for their unsaved lives. Can you imagine how they must feel? You know, I've been a preacher of the cross for 50 years. Wow. It's been wonderful. And to hear the testimony of the different folks that have been won to Christ through the ministry of our church, and to see them growing in grace, I was having a chemical test on my heart in the hospital a few weeks ago. And in came this little short nurse. And she came in and she said, "Brother Chick, how are you?" And I looked at her and I thought, well, I must not be doing very good. You're going to do a stress test on me. And she said, "Brother Chick," and then she hugged me. I was laying there on the bed and she leaned over and hugged me. And the doctors came in and the other team members came in. And I thought to myself, who is this child, you know? And she sat down on the edge of the bed and she took me by the hand and she said, "When I was a little girl, Brother Chick, you won me to Christ. And I've had Christ in my heart all of these years." She said, "I moved away after I got saved, but I'm back in Enid." And I told her, "Okay, Sugar Bear, let's see you back in church. Amen." I said, "Well, I think they're ready." She said, "They can wait. I want to tell you how good God is." And you know what was even more exciting? Three more nurses that took care of me said the same thing. And I like what one of them said, and Mrs. Chick and I have commented on this a number of times. One of those dear, sweet nurses told me, she said, "Brother Chick, when you won us to Christ, won me to Christ," she said, "our Sunday school teacher, Chana, taught us John 3:16. And I said, "Do you remember?" She said, "All of my life, this has been my special scripture. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever," aren't you glad that's in there? "Whosoever call upon his name shall be saved. But untold millions are still untold." There's hardly a day goes by, whether in Enid or somewhere, that somebody comes up and says, "Through the ministry of Bible Baptist Church, I was saved." I was in the Philippine Islands, and somebody came up behind me. I think he was stationed at Clark Air Force Base. And he came up, and he gave me a bear hug from behind. And he said, "Brother Chick, how are you?" And I thought, I'm 6,000 miles from home. I don't know anybody over here except the missionaries. And I turned around, and guess who it was? It was one of our little kids that had grown up and had been saved. And they said, "Oh, Brother Chick, I'm so glad that I have Christ." You said, "Well, that's wonderful." Yes, it's wonderful. But think with me as we close this morning. Think how many more out there in the city of Enid, where our mission station is. This is our mission station. Think how many more out there that don't know our Savior. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. "In whom the god of this world," old smutty face, the devil, "hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shall shine unto them." We need that afterglow, don't we? If you're saved here today, you need to be glowing. As you move through your workplace, as you move through your school, as you move with your fellowship and with your friends and your family, you need to be glowing for Jesus. Let others know what you have. I don't want to see anybody go to hell. I want everybody to get to go to heaven. And you say, well, of course, Pastor. And you know something else? Jesus feels the same way. And the Holy Spirit feels the same way. And God the Father feels the same way. And all those people, if they were really saved that raised their hand, they feel the same way. They want you in heaven with us instead of hell. And you want to be saved, if you be honest with me, because I'd rather go to heaven every day than hell just once. Amen? I would want heaven more than anything else. I would like to be able to say, and I can say because of the blood of Jesus Christ, absent from this old body is to be present with the Lord. That's what we hope.